This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Up television studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show is on the air. Great to have you along today. Russ and Sally here. The Mueller investigation, of course, was taking over all the hell. I just looked at the computer. Oh, that's Rusty at page 21 when I was in college. The Mueller investigation was all in the headlines here for the last 2 years. Well, Robert Mueller spoke out this morning about the investigation and sort of left it. I mean, he basically said, look, my testimony's in the report. It's what I said right there. You guys can subpoena me all you want. I'm only gonna talk about what's in the report. A, I don't think that's accurate because they could ask him, well, how did you come to that conclusion? And he would have to answer that.
Didn't the Dems already like read it live over like 3 days?
Yes, but
something?
They're gonna subpoena him.
The other
piece of those, he said, well, look, I didn't say the president was innocent. I just said we didn't have enough evidence. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, you didn't say those words, but it was damn close to that.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just, you know, I think he just politicized it, and I'll tell you why. Because I think he was picked on by the president for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was his parting shot.
He's in the swamp, man.
He's now in the swamp. Here to talk about that, our good friend, author of the book, The Divided Era, and proprietor of Political Vanguard.
Hold on.
Tom Del Vaccaro.
Yeah. Had to sub one out.
Tom, how are you?
It's about time.
It's a bad time.
Hey, can I ask you something? He is back in Wayne Manor, isn't he?
Yeah.
I love that.
We'll go out with the swirling
So
bat.
Do you agree with my analysis that this was politicized? And he could have said, instead of saying we didn't have enough evidence to charge him with a crime, he could have said the opposite and said, look, there was no crime.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would have said, you know, he goes, I would have said so if there was no crime. If there was a crime.
God.
He didn't say it like that. Why? This is all political, don't you think?
Sully, you ignorant. No, listen. I cannot.
Hey, Batman.
I cannot tell you as an attorney how disgusted I am with Robert Mueller. See, America has this system. You might have heard this somewhere. It's not been said often. You might have heard this, though. Innocent until proven guilty.
First said that to us. I think you were the guy who did that.
That was it.
Tom Del Vaccaro.
It's written on our bathroom.
And it's right there with the picture of Hillary.
I'll
or was
be.
That Barbara, the late
that
Barbara
was,
Bush?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Andrew Jackson.
Stunningly today, I've been talking all day, sorry.
Yeah.
It was today.
Mueller says that, I'm not talking about the guilt or innocence of the people we charged. Yet with Trump, he said, I did not find him not guilty, essentially. Our entire system is built on the notion you either have enough evidence or you do not, and if you do not, you are innocent, period, end of story.
So why didn't he just say, I couldn't find him guilty?
Way beyond
a reasonable doubt.
Abuse of our legal system by Robert Mueller. Ooh. Remember, he put people in solitary confinement because they had past tax issues. We don't do that in America. It's actually, in some regards, been said to be actual torture, but there's wide-ranging evidence on the psychological damage done by solitary confinement, and Robert Mueller thought this was okay.
Wow.
So my Fox op-ed is out about Mueller cannot stop abusing our system. The notion that he would say out loud, if you were in a law school exam and you said, well, I couldn't exonerate him, you would have failed the law school test. Because the law school test is pretty simple. Innocent until proven guilty. You either have enough to charge, and if you don't, the person is innocent. You don't get to say, oh, yes, you do, because your name's James Comey. And you sit there and you go on TV in July of 2016 and talk for 45 minutes about Hillary's guilty. Oh, but I'm not going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
That's abuse. Robert Mueller, there's no law that says you write a report. You don't even get to talk. But he writes a 400-page report, 434. Then he goes out and talks today and fuels the Democrats' fire. This is total abuse. This is who he is. And we must always remember that Robert Mueller, to protect the FBI and the informant Whitey Bulger, kept four people in jail who were innocent. The evidence was there, and the U.S. had to pay out $100 million in damages because of his abuse of the legal system. He is no one to revere, unless, of course, you think keeping people in jail and paying their families out $100 million is okay.
Wow.
If you do, I have nothing to say.
So here's my question. First of all,
wow.
So he needed. So the first thing is, what he should have said is, there wasn't enough evidence to convict. There wasn't enough evidence to even charge the president.
Yeah.
Versus saying there wasn't enough evidence to find him guilt. I mean,
find
the way he
guilty.
Said it.
No.
Well, I mean, it was just. So here's the other piece of the song. If, by the way, if he couldn't have indicted the president, if he couldn't have done anything anyway, as they referred to in the beginning of his statement, why the hell did he continue the investigation? It really was a witch hunt after that.
Well, and by the way, do you know who first started using the word witch hunt and presidential investigations?
Who's that?
Yes, that would be Clinton advisor Paul Begala. But when he was doing it, I don't remember CNN going to all these obstruction of justice charges. Even though the Starr report pointed out in 13 different occasions that he was guilty of doing something because the evidence was overwhelming, you hit right on it. You don't say there wasn't enough evidence. You say there wasn't enough evidence to charge. You don't say there wasn't enough evidence to exonerate.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
But that's
there's not enough evidence to charge him. Well, there's not enough evidence to exonerate. It's like
we don't.
We're back at that.
Yeah.
I cannot exonerate Rusty from
anything,
stealing the stuff that was inside Al Capone's trunk before. Right.
That's that's true. Yeah, I cannot exonerate you,
but
from El Chapo's drug cartel because and the reason you don't say stuff like that,
that
is because it is so open ended and not and baseless without any. So it's just conjecture.
Maybe Trump just looks like the guy.
What I can
did it.
Say is there's not enough evidence.
Right.
To find him guilty.
Not me.
There's not enough evidence not to find him not innocent.
Historically, prior to James Comey, historically, prosecutors didn't go out and slime their victim and then go, but I don't have enough. Sorry.
Yeah.
I wonder if Comey. But I don't got enough.
Is everything Comey's saying going to come back to haunt him, hopefully, someday?
Yeah, this is a whole new. That's a whole new.
I can't wait.
Because our attorney general is investigating. That whole sort of, the Department of Justice. Now, yeah, let's talk about, just for one second, because what I have to ask is, are we going to see impeachment proceedings immediately? Yeah. Like, is that just don't stop? That's going to happen?
Interesting things going on here. Nancy Pelosi would love to have a successful impeachment if you could guarantee it, but she can't get it. So she's not going to take the risk of an unsuccessful impeachment. However, she has no problem with investigating and having bad things said. So let's review that. Okay, let's slime him as much as we can. And we can't really impeach him. And I'll say we shouldn't do that because it'll hurt us. But I want you to do everything that would indicate that we should do
that. Trump's base is going to vote for him again no matter what.
Damn right.
And the people that hate him are not going to vote for him. So this all comes down to the people, the independents or the people that are on either side, and about swaying votes to one side or the other, because it was almost a 50-50. And this is about swaying votes.
Yes. And remember, Sully, the important thing I said a couple of times ago when I was on air. I said that when the Mueller report came out, this was a high point for the Democrats. You may get another high point when Mueller testifies. It doesn't look like he is, but he did in a way today. You get another high point. And then I said we would get to the Inspector General's report and the declassification of documents, and that high point will disappear, and the Democrats will be on the defensive, and Joe Biden's the only person running for president who was part of the administration that was part of the worst obstruction of justice and misuse of our legal system in history, and he will have to answer for it. And I am so exercised today as an attorney what they are doing to this legal system. And for any Democrat who's out there who says this is no big deal, I hope you never get falsely charged with something, your friend's life run through it, and then at the end they say, well, we really didn't have enough.
we didn't have enough to find him innocent.
You're right.
Okay, you don't have enough to ever find anybody innocent. It's if you have enough to find him guilty. That's how okay, Tom, stay there. We're keeping you for a while here.
Stay in the back.
Not going anywhere. Tom Del Beccaro, The Divided Era, politicalvanguard.com. We'll try to get some audio for you on his statement today.
And his shaky voice.
It seemed like he was a little nervous.
Yeah, he should be.
Or he was ticked. I think he was sort of ticked off.
No.
He seemed like he was pissed. He didn't want to be there.
Scared.
Like, look, I've been doing this for 2 years. I'm out. I'm retiring this afternoon.
Wow. Scared. Wait a second, man. What do you think the teacher's going to look like?
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Tom Del Beccaro is with us. He wrote the book, The Divided Era. What is that sound you're trying to do?
It's like Fox does, you know, when something comes into frame, like, shoo,
shoo. Oh, I see. I've never heard that sound on Fox.
Well, it's a lot more computerized.
You know. I don't think there's a sound at all. Oh, you mean when the breaking news flying?
Yes. Okay. So that's what I'm trying to do. Since we're on a budget.
Like Robin Lindsay was doing this, and nobody knew what the heck he was talking about.
Right.
He had to explain it finally.
Right.
It's like, what are you doing?
A lot of jokes just die right there in dissection.
Like, yeah, he should leave them.
Yeah, it's like a frog at your science project.
Yeah, exactly.
Dead! All right.
Robert Mueller came in. Do we have any of that sound yet? Have we found anything worthwhile playing? I think we're trying to find some.
Some Mueller sound?
Well, Robert Mueller came out and gave a statement on the Russ investigation. And it was, I believe, a shot across the bow of the president, because the president was not very nice to Mueller towards the last year of the investigation.
Of the witch hunt?
Exactly. Right. And he took aim at Mueller a lot.
Right.
And I think what Mueller basically did is, I think he just did a back at you. And by saying there's not enough evidence to clear his name, well, our country's not based upon not enough evidence to clear your name, so you're going to jail. Our legal system is based on not enough evidence to charge, not enough evidence to convict. Not enough evidence to find you guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Not enough evidence to exonerate
you. Innocent, yeah.
I can't exonerate you from not sneezing on me. Okay? However,
I just might.
There's also not enough evidence to prove that you did.
Right.
What's more important? Tom, do I have that right, since you're an attorney and I'm just a schmo?
Where is he?
Important.
Say
again. Today, Rob, let me say something that's very important. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Roger.
On the day that Robert Mueller showed up to his job, there was no evidence of collusion. How do I know that? Because James Clapper, that week on national TV, he was the top spy in America, got to see everything, said when he left, he did not see that hard evidence. That same week, Dianne Feinstein sat on the Intelligence and Judiciary Committee, said she did not see any of it. So when he showed up, there was no evidence. At the end, he concluded that no one in America conspired with anyone related to Russia. That, you know what that means? That means every day in between, he had no evidence of it.
So why? So the question
so
becomes:
everything he did in between needs to be judged in light of the fact, putting people in solitary,
yes,
using SWAT teams, getting Michael Flynn abused and ruined when he got nothing out of him related to collusion. All of those things are an abuse of the legal system by yep. him.
So my question is this.
I'd sure like
since
him.
All the in-between part was obviously up in the air, why even have an investigation at that point? Why would we have an investigation at that point?
Well, first of all, keep in mind why we had one. Because James Comey committed a felony by taking FBI material home and leaking it. And by the way, for those of you who don't think it was a felony for him to take, when you leave government, you don't get to take parting gifts.
Oh.
He did that work as an FBI employee, and you leave your work. Just as when you're at your business and you write a memo on a secret formula for your business, you don't get to take it with you and use it. Neither did Comey. So this whole thing started because Comey broke the law. Then we get this special prosecutor. Now, once he and by the way, he should have never taken the job because he interviewed for the FBI job, which made him a witness to the eventual obstruction thing that he looked into. So he never should have done that. He never should have done it because he was judging the actions of his friends at the FBI. Remember, he'd been in the FBI in and out for 20 years.
Yeah.
So judging the actions of his friends. No one with a conscience should do that. And what do we so if he takes the job at that point, you say, okay, you interview people, James Comey. You interview anyone else sitting there, Rod Rosenstein. You've been sitting here for 7-8 months doing this sort of thing. Tell me what you got. Is there any reason to believe there could be more? Oh, there's these three issues? Okay, we will look at that in a reserved and respectful and legal manner. We will not go out and abuse Mr. Flynn. And once they looked into those three things and those three things didn't produce any more evidence, he should have wrapped it up. But that is not who Bob Mueller is. Mm-mm. Bob Mueller doesn't have that legal conscience.
So my question, Mike, hang on, then my question would be this. My question would be this. With respect to the fact that you're an attorney and there's a lot of attorneys in Washington, D.C., isn't there one side that's going to speak up and suddenly say, hey, wait a minute? I mean, because I know that most people are worried that, you know, this is going to rock the economy. Mm-hmm. This is going to rock the, you know, all of the China trade talks and such are now going to be in the background. I mean, look, isn't there who's going to be on the side of the law versus on the side of politics is what I want to know.
Well, and the answer is when you whip up a fury, some people aren't willing to stand up to us. Alan Dershowitz has. He has said he's been wrong all along. He called him a zealot because he allowed those people to stay in jail up in Boston. But no, when CNN and everybody else jumps on you, when you disregard or you challenge what Robert Mueller's doing and they ruin careers overnight, no, this is mob justice. And Mueller fueled it again today. That was his goal. That's where he wants to end up with it. Robert Mueller thinks he's bigger than the system. And honestly, when you look back on his careers, you're going to see the Whitey Bulger failure. You're going to see the anthrax failure, the Atlanta bombing failure. And now this failure where he said, gutless Robert Mueller said,
wow,
I couldn't make a decision on obstruction. Really? That's what you're hired for. If I bring a plumber over here and he goes, well, I can't make a decision on what pipe to use, but your pipe is broken.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving forward, what happens? What is that? Hang on, you're going to stay. I'm not going to let him. I'm not letting him go.
He's all fired up today.
Good. Stay there. Yeah. You're not. I've got two questions you can think about when we're on the break. Number one,
yeah.
What does an impeachment process look like? And would this, you know, do they have? Is there enough to go forward with this? And what would the voters think about it? Number two, what I want to know,
okay,
is the Department of Justice investigation that's currently going on. Through our attorney general's investigation of how this whole thing started in the first place. Those are the two questions I have.
All these people stink. These are the members of the community that Obama organized.
How do you like that?
This is some spooky music, because, you know, Tom's thinking right now.
I've been hating these people for so long.
Yeah, but you have one half of the country hates them. One half of the country loves them right now. We are as divided as
the other half
as
of the country
be.
Is them. Wait, let me do some math here. Half is this. Quarter, carry the one.
And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under law...
They wanted to win a medal in curling until they found out it had nothing to do with lifting beers. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
And there goes Lady Justice.
Oh,
wow. You heard him say it right there. We didn't have enough info. If I listened, if I had enough evidence to exonerate him, I would have said so. Then why not say I don't have enough evidence to charge him? Why not say
this is weird, Bobby?
You should have said the other way, but why not say both ways? Here joining us now, Tom Del Beccaro continues the program with the divided era and political vanguard. So, yeah, there you go. You heard it right there. And it's almost like after hearing it from an attorney's perspective, yours namely, it's almost like he should know better, but now it really feels politicized, Tom.
But back in January of 2017, I started telling people that Mueller's going to pull a Comey. Remember, Comey sat there and went on national TV and by words indicted Hillary and then said we weren't going to do it. He had no right to slime Hillary at that point. He was supposed to create a report. He was supposed to give it to the DOJ. And they make a decision, yay or nay. That's what happens in our system. We don't carry on prosecutors' campaigns against people and say, oh, we don't. So when you ask, why did he do this? He has an animus. He has a bias. And that bias is he thinks he's bigger than the system. He's like, I call him Captain Ahab. Mm-hmm. He pursues his white whale, even though it destroys things in the process. And so he wanted to get, you said that he spoke poorly, Trump spoke poorly of Mueller for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So Mueller writes 400 pages in angst. That's not how our system works. He has done real long-term damage. And let's discuss the long-term damage. Because let's get back to the divided era. America is deeply divided. A house that is divided cannot conduct foreign policy. And that includes trade
negotiations. I knew he was going to go there.
It's very difficult when a president is being accused for 2 straight years for him to project power abroad.
Right.
Trump has said outright, I think China is trying to outlast us and get to Joe Biden. I think that's a mistake for China.
Oh, yeah.
Because for 2 years, their economy is going to take it on the chin. And Joe Biden, I still don't think is going to win. So why do you think Iran is being so provocative right now? Why do you think ISIS is doing things? Why do you think Russia is doing things? Because we can't project a board. This is the penalty America gets for being in this position. And by the way, if the Democrats' theory is that Russia wanted to infect our system, of course they did. Of course they want America divided, because then a divided America can't project abroad. So why don't we help them, Democrats? Why don't we help Russia?
That's what they're doing.
Okay, so let's fast forward real quick, because I do want to talk about the Department of Justice thing before we let you out of here today. But before then, What does it mean for us now that you know that there's going to be impeachment proceedings? What's the likelihood anything's going to come out of it? Can Donald Trump resist that if Congress votes for that? Is it likely, considering the Republicans run the Senate? Talk to us about that, would you?
If Nancy Pelosi gets her way, then there's going to be continual hearings on the House side into this entire matter, including their attempt to get Don McGahn, who's going to testify that I told Trump, you're not allowed to fire. And that will go on. If Nancy Pelosi gets her way, those hearings will go into all throughout next year, but there won't be an impeachment hearing. Now, if Jerry Nadler gets his way, he accused Trump of crimes today, he will push and he will try and cajole people to actually get enough votes to where he says you have to bring the measure to the floor. Now, what interrupts this is all of the stuff that's going to come out about the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. And the question becomes whether that takes the air out of the Democrats' political moves. If it does, then, and I think it will, because I think it's pretty bad what's been going on. This may fight to a draw, but never, if it gets bad enough through the IG report and other things that'll come out, Joe Biden's got to answer for him. So I, after the last election, I told you guys that this is, it's even going to get worse.
God.
Yeah, you did.
Leading up to 2020, and it's going to, and this is going to continue. And after 2020, you know, the bigger government is, the bigger the prize, the bigger the fight.
Sure. Sure. So it's only
the bigger idiots they look like.
Real quickly, let's talk a little bit about the Department of Justice and the investigation going on there. Is James Comey in trouble? Because I think that's the big question, right?
100%.
No kidding.
Yeah, no, there's no... Look, you can't sit up... First of all, he committed a felony. You can't leak information. That's one thing we already know he did. But it's very clear that his involvement related to spying domestically, as along with Brennan's and Clapper's, is very serious. And it was a very low bar in the old days to give... to be in trouble for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's in trouble, Brennan's in trouble, and Clapper's in trouble. Rod Rosenstein is less in trouble these days because I think he's gonna go state evidence, but I think Andrew McCabe is gonna get charged because the IG has already said he lied four times. And if Roger Stone lied once and gets a SWAT team, Andrew McCabe, who lied using government, meaning under color of law, ooh, four times,
uh-oh,
he's in serious trouble.
I'd like to see some of these guys get together in like a round of Jeopardy. Just see.
Do you think there's going to be like dual rails going on here at the same time? Will we have one rail going down the impeachment path and the other rail going down the hang Comey path?
Mm-hmm.
And what one political result could be that 2020 could have a very low turnout because people are discussing on both sides.
Yeah, because right now you have a vehemently angry left. You have an enthusiastic, economically enthusiastic right. I mean, I'll tell you what. I honestly think Donald Trump's supporters are heels in the sand, and they're more resolved than ever. And I also think that the left is Caesar? Divide and conquer. You have how many people that, I mean, you have a division, you have a moderate Democrat, you have a Democrat, and you have a socialist Democrat, three parties in one.
Yeah.
Talk about a division. That's they need to come together quickly.
Two dozen candidates.
Yes, and remember that the Bernie people have always said, and this is actually from last election bared out, that they're not going to vote for someone else. Joe Biden's problem is satisfying the Bernie people and satisfying the big donors in the middle and answering for the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not even campaigning right now. We had Memorial Day weekend and all the other candidates were out and he wasn't. He is the leader because he's staying away and is the presumed leader. Maybe that's a good methodology for him. I don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But look, their debates are going to come up and their economic policies are going to be out there. They all want to raise taxes, every single one of them. And when you listen to 10 people say they want to raise taxes, that does not help your congressional candidates.
Let me put your business hat on for a minute, because Tom's also joins me on for the San Diego Business Saturday show as an analyst economically.
And he has a business
put
hat.
He has a business hat. Put your business hat on just for 1 second. So I'm going to have about a minute here to deal with this. What happens if the market starts crapping out, the economy fades, we go into a bit of a recession over the next 18 months as a result of all of this nonsense going on between China and the politics? What happens to Donald Trump's chances then? Because suddenly things are not as rosy as they are right this second. What economically?
Objection, leading question.
All right.
You answered it yourself. Yeah, sure. His fortunes are tied to the economy. But in May, the consumer confidence jumped again. And in a 70% consumer society, consumer confidence matters a lot. And consumer confidence has a reason for being strong right now, because wages are rising over the last 12 months at a high rate. We've had 12 months of growth in excess of 3%. Mm-hmm. And there's really nothing on the horizon to cut that substantially unless the trade war goes bonkers out of control, and I don't believe that it will.
Sure.
So the economy is still going to be there, and the president needs to say very clearly, you like this economy? You can keep it.
Yeah.
But if you have the Democrats, you're going to lose your economy.
I think you better start saying that now.
Like your health care provider and your doctor.
Because I will tell you, based upon the bond yield curve, we're going to see a little bit of a crash coming up here in the market. And I don't think it's going to be pretty. Tom, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. Tom Del Beccaro, politicalvanguard.com, The Divided Era, a new book in which we have a liner note on. He won't even tell us the name of it yet. Coming up. Hey there, live at the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on the air. We are brought to you by Prudential. Let Prudential be your
rock
for retirement. Also brought to you by Rock Mobile. Don't be a rockhead like Russ. Get a Rock Mobile plan today.
Hello, my voice sound gravelly.
Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
I believe it.
Starbucks Coffee is also a sponsor of the program with a bigger, dare I say, bolder flavor.
You said bolder, Bobby.
And finally, Bloomin' Brands and their fine family of restaurants included.
Like who?
Outback Steakhouse.
Name another.
Carrabba's Grill.
What?
Outback Steakhouse is a fine location in where we did an appearance there.
I was over in Little Rock.
Nope, Boulder.
Damn
Boulder.
Right.
Colorado. Hey, good friends.
Pebble Beach.
There you go. Okay, I'm very excited. I'm really excited to have this next guest on.
Go for it.
As you know, we broadcast in 110 million TV homes every day and 150 radio stations. Also, we broadcast, we do a special broadcast for Armed Forces Radio Network in 175 countries. Jake Kalpakian is the president and CEO of a company called Jackpot Digital.
Nice.
I love this company. Go to jackpotdigital.com. They are publicly traded. Their stock symbol in the U.S. here is JPQTF.
Ooh.
Am I saying that right? JPQ or JPO? I beg your pardon. JPOTF.
Okay.
F. JPOT F.
Well,
there
you go.
There you go. JPOT F. God, why would I think? Oh, because my eyes are going back.
Sure.
and in Canada, they trade in the stock symbol JP. But this is such a cool company. He is a poker player. He's got 28 years experience managing publicly traded companies. He is the president and CEO, and he's here to talk about a really cool company because one of our viewers told us about this company.
Right.
One of our producers reached out and got him on the air. So that's how it works. You just call us up, you'll have him on a couple weeks later. Jake, how are you, sir? Good to talk to you.
Nice to be here.
Talk to us about your company. What are you guys? So were you a professional poker player or just a passionate poker player?
No, I'm passionate. I've always enjoyed to gamble with friends, but we've also been in the business of gambling. Uh-huh. I think it's a great business, as one could imagine. And so we thought, why not turn our passion into an actual business? I was not a professional poker player, far from it, but we like the industry, and we wanted to look at it from a gaming standpoint, an entertainment standpoint.
Well, the gamification business, even if it's straight gaming like what you have, or even gamifying everything, seems to create huge profit margins for the companies that do it. I mean, if you look at DraftKings, for example, started with $1 million. $1 million bucks,
yeah.
Which is not a lot of money.
Are they big?
They're at $1 billion-plus valuation by a lot. Talk about Jackpot Digital. How did you guys start this, and what are we doing here?
Well, it's interesting you talk about DraftKings or any other company in whatever space they're going to get involved with. I think you have to be an early mover to get that advantage, or you have to be extremely well capitalized to really be able to grow, because there are a lot of people that do try to enter. We have a very unique company in the sense that our product is pretty much the only one out in the marketplace. It's regulated. Regulation itself acts as a moat towards prohibiting other entrants into the market.
So there's a barrier to entry. There's literally a barrier to entry there.
Well, there's a barrier to entry because it's very expensive to develop the technology, but also the regulations are so onerous that you have to be prepared to be in it for the long haul. It's time consuming and expensive. So you have to go through not only just the product development and the regular competitive environment and landscape, but you also have to take a look at the regulatory standpoint and budget for that. And that's something that takes a lot longer than a lot of people think.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk. I'm going to talk about something real quick.
All of that is moot if your product isn't adopted.
Well, sure, exactly. The technology isn't there, and the product's crappy. And the product's got to be. Talk about products. Jackpot Digital, by the way, jackpotdigital.com. They have electronic poker. They've got 36 tables active in land-based and cruise ship casinos.
Nice.
All right. And then they also have a thing called Jackpot Blitz. Talk about Jackpot Blitz.
Well, Jackpot Blitz is a revolutionary electronic poker table. It's truly one of a kind out there. It helps operators almost double revenues or increase revenue substantially while reducing their expenses. It allows the players to have a lot more hands or enjoy a lot more hands, so they're constantly stimulated with more games.
This is so cool. We're watching this. So for our radio audience, you can't see this, but if you go to the website, there's a great video. We're showing this to our national TV audience. So this is so cool here, how it's actually video poker or video Texas Hold'em in this case.
Let me correct you with that. It's not actually video poker. It is actual poker. It's just played digitally.
Digital poker. Yeah, okay. Instead of video poker. Yeah, I don't want to give the wrong impression. Right. It's digital poker, but it is totally digital.
Is there a dealer?
No. So that's the beauty of it. Because everything is automated, it's a lot faster. It's dealerless. And because of that, you can have many more hands per hour. And the players players can get a lot more stimulation or engagement by not only playing more hands, but when they're not in the hand, they can actually play blackjack or baccarat or other games in the meantime. The beauty of this table is the operator, it increases revenues and reduces expenses substantially. And for the players, they're much more engaged in the product. Now, the poker aspect of it, or the cultural aspect of it, is you still get the social atmosphere of being around the table and playing with a lot of players.
No, there he goes.
But at the same time, you get the speed and convenience of the online game. So online has taken a big bite out of poker, and where it's just a faster game, you can play multiple games, etc. You can do all of that here, but in a regulated environment and still having that social atmosphere, which a lot of the players like.
I have a question for you. Jake Kalpakian is our guest today, president and CEO of a company called Jackpot Digital.
Wouldn't it be fun to rent for a party? You just bring it in for the night or something?
I think there's a bigger fish to fry there. Their stock symbol, JPOTF. JPOTF is in Frank here in the States. I want you to go to jackpotdigital.com. I guess I've never asked this question, but I'm also assuming that this provides an extra layer of security because it is digital. And there isn't a human sort of, look at the people. People steal, machines don't. Is that a selling point for you guys at all?
Absolutely. First of all, the product has to be GLI certified, which our product is. That means the product has gone through extensive testing to make sure the algorithms, et cetera, are all correct. And it can be passed on to a regulated casino floor to begin with. Second, there are no dealer mistakes. Everything is perfect. Basically, there are no mistakes and no issues with side plot, et cetera. And there are many other advantages and benefits, but you're correct with that assessment.
Hey, listen, Jake, will you come back with us? Because I know you got a Carnival Cruise Corporation. You've got 100 ships you're going to try to do business with or doing business with. I got to get you back. I mean, I need to hang him for an hour.
And there's no germs on the cards. That's my, but yeah, I just
there's
didn't,
no cooties
yeah.
on
there's
the
no
cards.
Cooties on the cards.
Jake Kalpakian, president and CEO, Jackpot Digital, jackpotdigital.com. Go
That's
check them out.
Cool.
Their stock symbol, JPOTF.
Yeah, remember.
All right. Chris Janik is our director. Jared Colmar, our assistant director. Curtis Manovich, our floor director, floor cameraman, editor, composer, keeper of keys. RussisFunny.com because...
RussisFatAndBald.com was taken.
You can catch me at Sully Speaks anywhere. BigBizShow.com.